Am I wrong in saying that it is episode 84 of Anime Pacific?
No, you'd be completely right.
Fantastic.
And yes, and we have our usual hosts, myself, Alex, with co-host Dane.
That's me.
Bringing you your...
The unaccented one.
That's right. Your bi-weekly or bi-monthly, depending on how you...
Interpret the word.
That's right. Some debate about that in the forums or in the comment section, but your bi-weekly anime and other stuff podcast. And before we get going, I just want to thank you, Dane, and the one true fan we clearly have, Jake, for actually bothering to sign up at the
Jimmy Fallon website.
That's right, at the Jimmy Fallon Late Night with Jimmy Fallon forum website forum, and following my lead and requesting Stereo Pony for the show. So yes, we a 1% success rate among our fans.
Yeah.
Damn it. Thank you, Jake, the one true fan, and the rest of you are lazy.
That's right. Like I said, if they're too lazy to even visit our website, which is www.animepacific.blogspot.com, if I sound different, it's because I've been quite sick. But if you're too lazy to even visit our website, I suppose you're going to be too lazy to register for the Jimmy Fallon website, which takes all but 2 minutes to support Stereo Pony, who'd listen to this show.
Thank you.
Possibly.
Yes. And I was telling you this yesterday. I was speaking of music, and this is going to... I'm probably going to sound like I'm from Mars or something, like an old man.
Watch that, Shani.
I was saying to Dane yesterday. That's right. I just discovered this Lady Gaga chick. and probably, like, most people listening are like, yeah, Lady Gaga, okay, probably the most... like the biggest sensation in music, like for the last, you know, coming up.
I only know her name.
I just stumbled across her. Now I feel like I'm officially old. You know, that like I'm so oblivious to like the current like music scene that I had no idea who this person was until I was listening to another podcast. Slate Culture Podcast. Slate.com has a popular news sort of website, news culture website, and they have various podcasts. One of them is a culture podcast, and they mentioned this Lady Gaga, and raved about her. And so when the Culture Gabfest, which usually like talks about sort of artsy movies and like indie bands and nothing right. Like actually like trendy or hip actually bothers to like mention a pop star, you gotta check her out. So
meanwhile your father's probably hosting another podcast saying, I've just discovered someone who's really great, he's called Barry Manilow, eh?
That's right. Well, yeah, that's right. Like, that just shows you how like oblivious I am to like what's going on in like pop culture. But anyways, I listen.
Fear
to
not. I'm even more oblivious.
Yeah, well, if there's like a infinitesimal like percentage of our fans who haven't like don't know who this woman is, I encourage you to, or you're living in the same anime / computer game / I don't know, American TV sort of bubble that I'm living in. I encourage you to check out.
I actually remember how I first heard of her. It was via a Yahoo Asia news article that she was a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a latest rumor. But when you first hear her on the radio, and I listening to some of her songs, I'm sure, like just in passing, I've heard them. It just sounds sort of like a latest in the sort of Britney Spears / Christina Aguilera vein. But you watch some of these, watch her music videos, and you see some of the, like pictures of her, like her act, mm-hmm. and it's just. It's the return of sort of like 1970s style over the top
Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah, Ziggy Stardust style. It's just so crazy, like the costumes and the production. It's and the music is catchy as hell. And she writes her own. I've been digging around, and she writes her own stuff, which is impressive these days. And before, and she's been working in the trenches of the industry for like the last 10 years. She's 23 now, but apparently she's been sort of working clubs and
She's only 23.
for like the last. Yeah, she's only 23, but since she was 14. She started going to clubs around New York, going to open mic nights and stuff like that. And she cl is a classically trained pianist, and she could really sing. I mean, if you do a Google search for her, you come across some of her fan sites, and then they have dug up some old footage of her before she was Lady Gaga, and she was using her real name still. And she's like sitting like in her, right now she's known for like these fantastical outfits and just crazy zaniness. But you can see, so it's weird to see her like dressed sort of normally in sort of like a formal sort of gown almost, so sitting in front of a p concert piano and singing a not quite not, almost like jazzy, not a pop song, but sort of a I don't know, it's a regular sort of light pop, light rock, piano jazzy song, just normal music, not the crazy zany stuff she's known for now. And she has like a real voice. That's so neat to sort of, go back before she was like famous, and she's just sort of struggling. Plus, if you do a search, you can see pictures of her where
Right.
you can see how she's been sort of developing this act, her crazy zany act. So you can see like where she had no money, so she was like putting together her costumes, which was just sort of like pink leotards kind of, or pink sort of hose, and she was trying to make zany costumes with no money. So you can see some old pictures of her at sort of must be sort of like dirty sort of clubs at the ass end of bottom feeding New York. She's just struggling to make a buck, practicing her, honing her craft, I guess, because I guess all those years of practice paid off. She ended up doing writing for other artists. I guess she did some writing for Britney Spears and whatnot, and sort of honing her craft. And now it's like, even if you don't really like me and you don't like sort of follow pop music that much, especially since it sort of fell into the
What you
abyss
talk
of
about?
like hip hop or whatever. But like you can sort of appreciate like a professional at the top of the top of his game or a top of her game, like even though, like, for example, you might not lock in sports, you might not like soccer or whatever, but you might watch the World Cup because they're professionals and they're the best, at what they do, right? I think it's the sort of same thing here. Even though I'm not like into the whole pop culture scene, I can recognize this is like a real talent. And it's like a professional at the top of her game right now. It's like Madonna in probably the late 80s, it's sort of that same sort of equivalent. So yeah, I'm very impressed. You see these videos, man, and it's, I can't get them out of my head, especially that what's that song, Paparazzi. If you haven't listened to it, Dan, you should check it out. It's just in my head all day long.
Okay, I
Paparazzi.
shall, and
So it's a, it's
I'll
a
talk about that next episode. But I think you should not feel too bad about being oblivious to the existence of this Lady Gaga, because rest assured, in this world, there are always people who are doing things much more pitiful than that. For example, I am just looking at the referrals for the Anime Pacific website, and someone from Houma, United States, is looking for Patrick Duffy Uncut.
Patrick Duffy,
So,
those referrals are always just like zany to look at, eh? You wonder,
oh, I know.
like, and anybody can do that, by the way. Just go to our website and click the sort of stats button, and you can
The
see
little
it.
like globe, the
Yeah,
earth
and
globe.
you can see it like some 100 innocent girls study the penis, and one of the referrals to our site for
You know,
sexy.
one of our biggest referrals was Greenland for so long, because I put a picture of Greenland in there. I was like, oh, I'm curious about Greenland, and here's a picture of it so you can see what it looks like. And then we're getting hundreds and upon hundreds of referrals for Greenland. But it seems it doesn't matter what you put in there, you'll get people visiting just coincidentally.
I don't know
I
if
think.
people can pick that up on the mic, but I think your baby's in the background throwing stuff around.
Yeah, she's playing with a little toy thing, and the whole family's sick people, so you have to bear with any technical shortcomings on my part.
Yes.
But
Well, anyway, this week on the show, I'm going to do a I'm gonna do a sort of review of Tokyo Magnitude 8.0.
Yeah, and just a basic synopsis, if you don't know, me and Alex used to know this really huge, fat Canadian English teacher called Charlene, and evidently she went to Japan to start teaching, which caused Tokyo Magnitude 8.0. It would have been 4.0.
That took a long way to get to that
joke,
man.
And no one's going to get it. That's part of my sick brain in action. But basically, for those of you that don't know, Charlene
did she really go to Japan?
I have no idea. I don't even know if she's still alive. She was.
I wonder if that guy who that guy, I think he was from New Zealand or something, who worked at the English Center in Hong Kong. I wonder if he's still around. You remember he used to go down to the Deli France and steal the newspapers.
Oh, that wretch! Yeah, he would just go in and read the newspapers in the class. Yeah. Paul, I think his name was, had a curly mullet, as I recall.
That's right. God, you have a good memory. Yeah, and he'd steal them from the Deli France.
Oh, listen, people, I can tell you, when it comes to English teachers, you've got a mix of either the dregs of the earth or just curious, lovely individuals who want to see the earth. And I, of course, am the latter.
And like to wear orange.
And like to wear orange. Yes. No. But I tell you, yeah, that Paul guy, curly mullet man, and Charlene. Hello, I'm Charlene. I'm from the Iroquois tribe, but they won't let me stay there because they think I'm a seal and they'll hunt me, eh? But she was just huge. I cannot even begin to tell you how huge this girl was. And she'd leave, like, chocolate sundaes and burger wrappings on the chairs, and she was huge.
Oh yeah, and she used to like stuff her face. Well, and the first thing, the funny thing, like, is the English Center, especially there on their eighth floor of the Newtown Plaza. By the way, we used to work at the English Center. People, your new listeners who don't know, we used to work there many moons ago.
Almost 10 moons ago.
That's right. That's right. It's been almost 10 years now. Yeah. So, anyways,
That should be like
the eighth floor little center there was like probably just like a meter and a half wide. It wasn't that wide, you know. And they had like one little it was like almost like a little closet size thing, a classroom. And so you have to imagine they've got a little table there, and Charlene would be like trying to fit her bulk into that classroom
someone attempting to stuff a chicken dumpling into a shot glass. It was just a huge, fat, flabby mess that shouldn't have been. Yeah, no,
poor
not
Charlene.
Poor Charlene. She was. I still remember when Alex used to visit this girl who I guess he fancied in the McDonald's near where we lived.
Oh, the McDonald's girl.
Said,
oh, that's right.
I asked her to come out for dinner, but her mom won't let her stay out late. And then this is the first time you met Charlene, and she said, of course she won't. This is communist, eh? Well, the first thing, Hong Kong is not communist. And the second, what the hell does that have to do with not letting your daughter out? So typical stupid thing that she blurts out.
Right.
I still remember that. But, you know, speaking of fishbowl English centres, someone told me about a place that he worked at, not the English centre. It was another place somewhere, which was in a shopping centre, but it was basically pretty much like, you know, like a small glass booth where they would put the mannequins, you know, for different fashion shops. But I suppose they got rid of the fashion shop. And then this English center just bought the booth where they put the mannequins, and the other shop.
Mannequins,
okay,
maybe?
Where they put the mannequins, they rented just that booth space and then built a wall around it, and the other shop obviously didn't need a display area, so they existed behind that. So, but this thing was, literally, you could only fit a chair, a table, a chair. And they didn't even have a front desk like the English Centre did. The front desk was outside in the shopping centre, and then they said, "Oh, bring your own materials." And the guy brings his own materials, and they say, "Okay, yep, but there's no photocopier, and this thing's only got a chair and a table and a chair." And they said, "Oh, no, we rent the photocopier from the real estate agent." So he's got to go over to the real estate agent and get the printer out.
Yeah, and I guess it's teaching that fishbowl too.
Yeah, it's completely transparent, no curtain, everyone can see. And, you know, if you've got little Lord Fauntleroy and Grandma's sticking her nose against the window having a look, I'm just so glad I'm out of that area of English teaching and I'm just in the primary sector. Just thinking about those things drives me crazy.
I remember when Jovi, the English teacher, they expanded up into
big mistake.
Ma and Sean there, and yeah, well, they had this huge place, and a rival English company opened up a center in the same shopping mall, and I seem to remember it had sort of a similar thing where it had a big glass window in the front. I don't know if you were there at the time or not. You might have gotten expelled from the...
did go to the Ma and Sean one a little bit. That was towards the end of my stay. Yes.
Before you got kicked out of the country.
Asked to leave.
Yes. That's right. Politely asked to leave. All right. Well, anyways, we should move along. People are bored. By our.
I don't know. I think they like the nonsense the most.
our yes. Incoherent ramblings.
So okay, perhaps. Well.
Actually, no. Before we move on, since you think people like this nonsense, I just wanted to bring up, in that case, you ever watched American show Survivor?
Overall, no. But there have been times where I've just had the TV on, and it's been on. So I know what it's about, and I know what happens, but I don't really know who is who, or I don't know any of the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the people
on the show. There's no characters. It's a reality show.
Yes.
And they change every season. So they're up to... this latest season, I recommend... even if you just... maybe you just watch the first season. Like me... like, I just watched the first season of Survivor when it first hit the airwaves. I was in Hong Kong at the time, actually. And, you know, and then, because I was moving around, it wasn't available in Japan. I never watched any of their seasons. But now, it's coming back to Canada. I watched last year, and I watched this year. And this latest season of Survivor, even if it's just unbelievable, you got these characters in here. Real characters. They're real people. But, you know, they're chosen by producers. So you got these guys. They're just so wacky and interesting that it's gripping television. It's must-see TV every week. So Dane and anybody else listening, try to dig up the rest of this season's Survivor. I believe it's like Survivor 19. They got these guys in there. It's amazing television with Russell, who's conniving and... at first, you think he's sort of like the bad guy of the season, but he's just so irrepressibly kind of scheming and evil, you know, that you just gotta love him. You know, he at the beginning, he's trying to gather all sort of an alliance of him and like a lot of these sort of, you know, they got a lot of beautiful women on the show, obviously, that the producers choose. So he's gathering sort of an alliance in his own tribe of himself plus these women. And he's like, he's calling it the Dumb Girl Alliance. He says it to the camera. This is the Dumb Girl Alliance. We got the dumb blonde. These women are so dumb. They got nothing between their heads. He's just carrying on. He's just so over the top. And it's...
sounds like a good a fitting position for another co-host of the show.
Well, I don't even know if it's available out there. But if you...
well, it's on. Survivor is on TV here, but I don't know when. I just downloaded it anyway.
Yes,
I mean, I can't stand watching, normal TV these days with all the commercials.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing, a symptom of my pretty much watching everything, having the DVD or downloading everything that I watch. When I go back and I see these commercials, I'm like, how can people stand this? And all these commercials are just so obviously, you know, rubbish. You can't trust anything a commercial says. The commercials I hate the most are those ones that appear caring, but you know that they don't give a crap.
Well, I don't know. I don't really watch commercials either. Now, you know, we got a PVR to skip by. Although out of guilt, once in a while, you know, I'll sort of fast forward them through them slowly because I don't know. These commercials pay for the shows. You just can't skip them endlessly.
But I was hearing this on the Geek Nights podcast too. Is that they've got ad blockers on their internet browsers? They don't watch TV, and anything that they watch is on DVD or downloaded. So they're just they've got no idea about commercials these days. And when they go back and try to see or watch through a show with commercials, they just can't handle it. And they're like, people put up with this? And of course, you know, when there's no other choice or when that's all you've ever done, then you don't really think about it too much.
But well, I remember in Japan. Well, first of all, in Canada and in the States, I guess, you got 40 minutes of show and then you got 20 minutes of commercials. So, like 1/3 of the show you're watching is commercials. It's just crazy. It's impossible. Especially coming from Japan, where they've got maybe at the most 10 minutes of commercials per hour.
Japan's a lot better. Usually, the anime shows, it's like 10 minutes, commercial, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Or more like, you know, 12 minutes than commercial. You know, yes. I mean, yeah, a lot fewer commercials. Anyways, people are bored. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Shall I talk about Magnitude 8.0?
Yes, just before you do, I will tell people about what I'm watching and what I will review once I have finished watching it, which will definitely be by next episode.
All right.
I'm actually watching what some people would call a classic 1980s OVA called Armor Hunter Mellow Link. Have you heard of this, Alex?
I have not. All right, well, before you get to talking about what you're watching, I just wanted to mention that I watched Megazone 23. You mentioned this briefly a couple episodes ago, and I think I was sort of zoned out while you were talking about it. But then I went back and I actually listened to the show, and I heard you talk about Megazone 23 and how it was like the first real smash hit OVA. Mm-hmm. And that sort of piqued my interest. So I obtained it, and I have watched the first, I guess it's a movie, or first OVA.
Yep.
And I agree, it's great. Especially for something that came out in the mid-80s, this is before Ghost in the Shell, before The Matrix. So the whole idea of like a world that, you know, you're thinking, you're like, it's a normal sort of 80s city, it's Tokyo in the 80s, and then suddenly you're sort of pulled out and you find out you're actually in sort of very Matrix-like. You're pulled out and you realize, oh, it's not, you know, there's these guys in a spaceship, basically, sort of trapped in this, you know, isolated in this sort of fake world that's sort of been
in the
created.
Middle of an intergalactic
It's
world.
Really
yeah.
good. Yeah, it's good for, you know, especially for the time, very original, you know. This is, again, before, you know, Ghost in the Shell, The Matrix, or any other sort of what is reality, what is not kind of show. So
and thoroughly 80s too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, with the big hair and the music. Yeah.
I think, now that I think about it, I looked at all the characters, especially in the first Megazone 23, and I'm thinking, well, they're all quite sexy. And then I realized that perhaps my version of anime sexy is firmly rooted in the 80s.
Yeah, just like you like 1970s Bush on chicks, you like...
Chalk that up next to my tentacle sex quote and rape man is 5 stars quote, which...
It's all true! Don't give me that.
Hello, Jerry O'Connell.
Especially
the first
two. Welcome to
this new universe that you've slided into.
Maybe, maybe not the third one. But the first two were genuinely true. Do not deny it. All right. Yeah, so you were saying that you enjoy some show.
Another 80s OVA, Armor Hunter Mellow Link. Now, I'm going to review
this. What a retarded name.
Well, it's not really when you... It's got quite a history behind it, this show, and I have heard about it almost since I knew what anime was. And Armor Hunter Mellow Link is... I suppose it is to the... to an extent, to the Armored Trooper Votoms universe, which it is set in, it is to that what MS-08th Team is to Gundam, which, coincidentally enough, it was directed by the same fellow who directed half of MS-08th Team until he died. But suffice to say, this is set in the Armored Trooper Votoms universe, which, you know, you saw the Palison Files, but Armored Trooper Votoms is basically...
Yeah, I couldn't get into that.
Well,
I should, but it's just I know that the Palatin Files is like a prequel.
Yeah,
and it just didn't.
Well,
I don't quite remember, but I just remember it being not that good.
Yeah, well, don't I won't judge the whole franchise on that. I quite enjoyed it, but I thought.
Yeah, you're right. I should check out the rest.
But what makes Armor Hunter Mellow Link special is that you don't have to have seen anything else from the Armored Trooper Votoms universe to understand it, but it's basically one man versus mechs. One non-mech man not piloting a mech versus mechs. And it's very cool. It's a genre that, or a sub-genre that should be explored more, man versus mech. Because, you know, I'm just really enjoying it. So, and I probably shouldn't have even said that because then I've basically said what I feel. But I haven't finished it yet. I will talk about it more in detail and I will review it next episode. I'm a troop of Votoms. And just while we're... Yes?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to... Before you start your Tokyo Magnitude 8.0 thing, I just wanted to throw in that I was very close to getting a PlayStation 3.
Boo! Don't join the dark side.
Well, you know, I had a PlayStation 1, a PlayStation 2.
Dreamcast.
And my favorite, the Dreamcast. But
yeah, it was great.
Yeah. But the main reason is there are some games that are just, I've been desperate to play. Yakuza 3 being one of them, which is out, but we're still waiting to see if it'll come out in English. And Blu-ray player capabilities. And I got a $1,000 coupon for Sogo, which is a Japanese... It's closed in Japan now, but a Japanese sort of upmarket mall chain, I suppose you can say, right?
Right.
Of course, having said that, I went there a few days ago because I had a day off on Thursday because it was the 10th anniversary of my school and we had to do a big celebration on Wednesday, so we got Thursday off. And I went there, and I can tell you what, Sogo sells everything that they sell downstairs, but 10 times more expensive. And it was full of mainland tourists. Now, the thing about, I suppose, about mainland tourists is, you know, China's raking in the money now, so there's lots of sort of very rich mainlanders coming in and buying luxury apartments for like millions of dollars. But I think the thing is that for people who are newly rich, they can be very naive, I think. So obviously they're great targets, I suppose, because I suppose someone, a traveler from the UK or Australia or something, is probably not going to be as naive because, you know, they're more used to having that level of life where they can sort of freely travel and stuff. But I was looking at this digital camera. It was like twice as much as it was downstairs, like just in the street.
Oh, yeah. But
the mainlanders are...
Somebody...
Yep. They're shelling out.
Somebody bought it?
Oh, mainlanders are everywhere.
You should tell them that intervene somehow.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's like... Since that Choi there, where you get along that main drag. I forget the name escapes me now, but the there's a main street that runs up from the harbor there, near the. Well, it's a, basically it's a big tourist district, basically, and all along that street there are all these camera shops, and you know they're like just for tourists, basically, and. Yeah, you gotta stay away from them because they sell you something and like half the parts. You think it's a great deal, but like half the parts are actually missing. You know, you never know what you're gonna get. It's a huge scam.
Yeah, they've clamped down on that stuff quite a bit now. But you know, I suppose some of these rich mainlanders, perhaps they want to pay the most just so they can say they did. Who knows?
Yeah, well, you hear about all these guys. It's one of the reasons the Hong Kong property market is, like, sky high. Because I think you might have seen this before, actually, because all the mainlanders are coming down and they're just paying whatever they, you know, whatever.
For millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. Oh, that's the price? Okay, I'll buy. Yeah. You know. Yeah. All right, so shall I talk about Tokyo Magnitude 8.0?
Yes, you should.
All right after this commercial.
Hello folks, my name is Jake, the Root Beer King, and I have a few questions for you which could determine your liking of my podcast, RPG Lamer, the podcast. I shall disperse the questions now. Do you like surprises? Do you like podcasts? Do you like quality? Do you hate schedules? Do you hate shitty audio? Do you love Japanese RPGs? And do you hate all that Western RPG talk on all those other RPG podcasts? Well then, you'll love RPG Lamer, the podcast. It's iTunes' number 2 sporadically released podcast, right next to You Look Nice Today. RPG Lamer, the podcast. News, reviews, and the release dates. What more could you want? A frequent release of episodes? Pish posh. Visit RPGLamer.com to subscribe, or search for RPG Lamer in iTunes.
Alright, Tokyo Magnitude 8.0. Now, there's a problem with reviewing this series, this show, in that in order to do it justice, like describe the plot and describe why it's so good, you almost, like, have to give away, like, a huge spoiler. massive spoiler. Which I don't want to do, and I'm not going to do it. And even hinting sort of at obliquely at what it is, it kind of gives it away. It almost ruins the show. So, I'm not sure quite how to handle this. This might be a short review, because if I talk about it too much, I'll blow the beans on the spoiler. Now, if you've read anything about this show, probably if you read the Wikipedia page, if everything you read about the show probably gives it away and spoils it for you. So, either how do you think I should handle this, Dange? Should I just go ahead and spoil it and ruin the show for yourself and all our listeners who haven't read anything about it, or should I try to avoid this spoiler and obliquely reference it? What do you think?
I think we should warn people to turn off their podcast player now if they don't want it spoiled for them.
Really? All right.
Well,
okay. Tell you what, I'll start off by describing the show generally, sort of like what I did for a previous show, which I've forgotten what it is now. Darker Than Black, probably. I'll talk about it in very general terms, and then I'll give the usual spoiler alert, in which people should sort of fast forward, and maybe you can give them an exact, after you edit the show, you should insert an exact fast forwarding time. Into the show note, like into the audio, because all right, so that's how we'll handle it. So here we go, Tokyo Magnitude 8.0. This is the non-spoiler section. Okay, if you've heard about this show, this is probably the must-watch show of the summer, or spring, the spring anime season. It is about, as you can gather from the title, a massive earthquake in Tokyo, the big one. The city is devastated. The show centers around two children, a brother and a sister. The sister is, 12, 13. She's in that sort of difficult age where she is still a bit of a little girl, but she wants to think of herself as, oh, I'm an adult now. And that kind of a awkward age. Her parents are kind of frazzled and they're busy, and she's sort of talking back to her parents. She thinks she hates her parents. Sort of typical teenager. The brother, much younger, he's, I guess he's maybe 7 or 8. He's, into robots, sort of a typical little boy, very cute, and loves his big sister and almost idolizes her in a way. Wants her to be happy, wants her to be, not so mean to their parents, and wants just everyone just to get along. So one day, there's a big robot show that's going to be in a district of Tokyo. And the mother's too busy to take the son that, who loves robots to the show. And the mother tells the daughter, the daughter's name is Mirai, by the way, and the son is Yuki. So she tells Mirai to bring your brother Yuki to the robot show, and she sort of grumpily agrees and drags her basically to the robot show. He's very enthusiastic, she's grumpy, mildly interested in some of the robots of the show. And the big earthquake hits. Now, none of this is spoilers, because it all happens in the first episode, and it's, pretty obvious. The rest of the series, the rest of the episode, 11 episodes, deal with them trying to get back to their parents. They're separated. The earthquake hits. They're in one section of the city. Their parents are back home, completely different area. Earthquake hits. Everything is shut down. Bridges are collapsing. The roads are filled with rubble. The subway is obviously not running. The only people getting around seem to be are the military and rescue workers and ambulances who fight their way. And unless you're like seriously injured, they're not going to help you. You're sort of fending for yourself. So in order to get back home, the two kids need some assistance, and they run into Mari Kusakabe. That's her name. She's just sort of a delivery girl, I guess, like a courier, and works for like a FedEx type company, I guess. And she also has a young daughter, and she is separated at work, obviously, when the earthquake hits, and she happens to be in the same area that Mirai and Yuki are. And she happens to live in a similar region, not quite next to each other, but there is same. They're going in the same direction. So she agrees to help these two kids, who obviously need assistance, get back to their home. And as the series goes, she kind of takes them under her wing and really grows to, care about them. Now, that's the setup, the non-spoiler setup. Great show, very moving. This is all, I'm safe to say all this, very moving, very emotional. It's billed as being really realistic, as, taken from what the SDF and what the rescue workers, what their plans are in an event of an earthquake. However, there are some things that just seem, I just can't quite believe. Like there's an episode where there are rescue robots that seem to be able to, it's something out of like a Gundam show almost. They're operated by people using remote control, but they seem very advanced, maybe something that's like 10 years away. Although some people in show comments seem to say that, okay, this stuff is possible, they're developing it now. But I don't know, it just seemed a bit far-fetched for me. But the rest of it seemed, the rest of the show seemed very realistic. Yeah.
Including
animation-wise, I seem to say this a lot, but it's great. Better than anything else I've seen this year, including Darker Than Black. Yeah, including Bakemonogatari. It's really realistic. Very, every scene is filled with stuff, especially you're walking through this city with the collapsing buildings, and you really have to bring the, it's almost like Tokyo has to be in a way like a character in the show, right? You have the destroyed city, the collapsing bridges,
and this wasn't directed by Roland Emmerich.
No, well, it's done. Again, they're aiming for realism here, but you know there are parts where I'm trying not to spoil anything, but there are parts where you know they have to try to make it exciting. So you know they're walking; they can't just be them walking through the city and nothing happens. So you know, obviously, you know they're walking through the city and you know stuff happens to collapse while they're you know right there and they're you know they're threatened, and so there has to be you know stuff happening. Just can't them all? They walk from point A to point B for like 3 days and nothing happens.
I suppose there's room for a sequel with Osaka Magnitude 8.0 and...
Boy, that's a good question. Osaka Magnitude... Maybe different...
Handashi 8.0?
I hope not.
Kariya 8.0?
Handashi 8.0. It would have to be different characters. Different characters, maybe. I don't know. I can't see a second season. Unless it's like very... hackneyed, and honestly, if I know you're being trying to joke, but being how successful this show was, as I think it was, judging all the buzz it got, it must have made money, and it must they must be thinking, boy, how could we cash in, maybe make a second season? But I can't see
maybe
how it's possible.
Cam Loops 8.0. Oh, my igloo fell down.
No, but oh my god. They can't just do another season where an earthquake somewhere else. I mean, obviously that's stupid.
No.
And the character wise, the whole thing was sort of resolved. So I don't see how it could possibly do a like all the arcs kind of got wrapped up. So well, I don't see.
Yeah.
Possibly, there's no way. There's no way to do a second. Like, there's nowhere for the story to go unless they have all new characters. And then it's not much of a sequel, then, is it?
They could go side story or alternate story, but I'd rather see the team just do something new.
Yeah. So you haven't seen this, but any of this, by the way. So
no, I haven't.
Yeah.
No. It's on the list.
That's right. It's on your massive list of stuff you haven't seen. Yeah. The okay. So I highly recommend it. Now, my only complaint might be it might have been one or two episodes too long. Now I'm gonna again do this non-spoiler wise, but there's about 7 or 8 episodes in, there's like a very series altering event that shifts what's going on, and for the first three or four episodes you're just dealing with the direct aftermath of the earthquake, which is all very exciting, and then you got that big event episode 7 or 8. I can't quite remember.
Is this an event of, I suppose, sci-fi?
Spoiler? No. I'm trying to do this vague, so I don't spoil anything. I'll spoil it later. but between those things, there's a gap. Episodes 5 and 6, it drags a bit.
Okay.
So you're in this gap between, well, something really, just then sort of end up them walking, and it's, the earthquake is 4 episodes ago, and they're just still walking home, and you know the series is going to be another 7. Are they just going to walk for 7 more episodes? You know, what are they doing? Where is this show going? But no, you got to hang in there, and it really is spectacular. So really moving, really emotional. Highly recommend it. This is a serious show. If you're looking for great laughs and a hilarious time, this is not the show for you, okay? But if you want something very moving and sad, or and happy, trying not to spoil.
They were dead then, it was all a dream.
Yes. Quiet. how did you know? No.
Oh my goodness.
No, so Well, so anyway, so moving on, watch the show. Highly recommend it. So from now on, I'm going to talk about the show some more.
Okay.
But I'm going to spoil it. So Dane will now come on and tell you in post-production how long I talked about the show. So fast forward the show now if you don't want to hear me talk. Dane, how long do you have to fast forward for?
He has to fast... Sorry, you, okay, the listener, has to fast forward it to...
55 minutes and 30 seconds. All right.
Okay, welcome to Spoiler Land.
Yes, big Spoiler Land. So even like between cuts here, I was talking to Dane. You haven't watched this show either. Are you sure you want me to spoil it for you? And Dane's like, well, I don't know. So I used an analogy, and if you're still listening, you've seen it. So this is like I said to Dane, you know, so imagine you you haven't seen The Sixth Sense yet, and somebody told you that the psychiatrist, you know, he was a ghost all along. Would that spoil it for you? And Dane said basically, well, not really. So I said, okay, screw it, let's record. So basically, I hesitated to use even that analogy because essentially, and if you really don't want to hear the spoiler, fast forward now. Essentially, that's what happens in this show, okay?
Oh, so, I was right in my guess.
You were right, but sort of. So about, as I was trying to, about 8 episodes in, Yuki collapses and he goes to the hospital. And he's the boy. And, okay, so Mirai, she's obviously incredibly worried about her brother, you know, going to the hospital and collapsing. And there's this, in this episode, now you don't, obviously you don't catch on quite at first, because it's much like The Sixth Sense in that after you've seen the whole season, it's clear. But at the time, the director did it in such a way you think it's just a dream sequence. In this so-called dream sequence, the doctor comes out to tell Mirai that her brother died, and you know, we're terribly sorry, and you know, condolences her, comforts her, and
were you thoroughly surprised?
Yeah,
by this revelation?
But because in episode 8, it seems like it's a genuine dream sequence. I did not catch on at all. So, but going back and watching it again, it's clear. I mean, and it, of course, if you read any of the comments, some of the people after that episode, like I went back and looked at the at various blogs, you know, the Starcross anime blog, for example, and there are a lot of hints about it. Like a lot of the commenters are guessing, boy, is he dead or isn't he dead? Because after this dream sequence, Yuki seems to come back. And, you know, like, he's alive again, you know. Oh, no, it was all,
yes.
he wasn't. Well,
so
it's all in Mirai's head. Like, she's just so devastated that she sort of, her head, she sort of conjures up. She sort of, oh, yeah, she conjures up that, oh, Yuki's alive.
The
and he never
family.
Died. And so in her head, she, like, Yuki's still there. Mm-hmm. But if you watch again, it's like The Sixth Sense. Like, if you watch it again, like the you never see... The woman who's looking after them, she never again talks directly to the son. She's always talking to Mirai, or to sort of both of them that are standing there in general. In that episode, she's sort of very gentle toward Mirai. Like, you see them, she's very, you know, I'm very sorry about what's happened, and, you know, she tries to comfort her, and there's a scene at the end where the two of them, that you think, oh, it's the girl and the boy, they're walking out ahead of Mari and of the woman who's looking after them.
Yep.
And you're thinking, oh, well, she's just giving the two of them distance. But, you know, reality, you know, the girl's brother just died, and she's trying to, you know, give the daughter, Mirai, some distance, some time alone, you know. So looking back, it turns a whole different perspective on it. But at the time, I thought, oh, okay, he's still alive. And boy, that's a bit of an anime gimmick. oh, he never died at all. And throughout the rest of the show, you know, he's sort of there. And, well, he is there, but...
He doesn't directly interact with
the events.
Yeah,
but at the time, you sort of buy into it. You know, unless you're really, really paying attention, you buy into it. And because, you know, the star of the show was mostly Mirai to begin with. So it's sort of focused on her, and the brother is there, but just keeps disappearing when, you know, whenever, especially toward the end, whenever, you know, she wants him to, you know, sort of talk to an adult or wants him to talk to somebody, you know, he sort of quote unquote runs off or disappears. You know, he's never there to begin with, you know, because he can't be there to meet her. It's just all in her head. And she finds...
You know, it's funny you mention this because... this reminds me very, 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 very much of an excellent film that I watched. And there was a character similar to this in the director's cut, but in the theatrical version, he's just a normal person, and it totally ruined that aspect of the character. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, so unless you're really paying attention, you don't clue into this. And if you do, it makes the show... I think that much more spectacular. Like if you think he's just come back to, he's just, oh, he was never really dead. It was the dream sequence, and he's fine. It's okay. It's sort of a typical kind of typical show, but this whole he died and it's all in Mirai's head that he's there. She's in denial about his death.
If it was an American superhero comic, it'd be. All a dream, or the what if so-and-so died.
Yeah. If they make this into, like, an American movie, he'll, like, you know, come back miraculously at the end or something. No.
Much like our mascot, Patrick Duffy.
That's right. But seriously, it makes this show 10 times better when you sort of clue into this.
Yeah.
And especially at the end where she's trying to struggle with the fact that you know, he's actually not around, and he died, and she's struggling to sort of realize this. It's just makes it a really sensational show.
Now, just about this revelation, is it depicted as such that someone who is not particularly intelligent might not actually pick up on the fact that this kid is really dead, or is it...
Well, they make it, by the end, they make it very clear.
Okay.
So by, like, the last episode... It's clear that he's dead. Like, because for one thing, Mirai just sort of realizes, oh, he's dead. You know, it's the whole, like, from basically episode 8 onward, you know, the illusion slowly deteriorates. So by the last couple episodes, you know, Yuki's just sort of disappearing at random, and, you know, Mirai finds herself tearing up at, like, you know, she goes to Yuki's school and looks at his desk and his papers and stuff. So, but by, you know, by then, the illusion is completely, you know, breaking. So,
is this Grave of the Fireflies level of tragedy?
Oh, I don't know. It's done realistically, at least I think. And
no, I mean, Grave of the Fireflies was realistic, but it was just so... amazingly sad and tragic that
well, it's sad, but at the same time, it's sad, but at the same time, like, a lot of people, it's an earthquake, a lot of people have died, and the parents, you know, but Mirai is safe, right? I mean, she makes it, this is a spoiler, so it doesn't matter, so she, you know, she makes it back to her parents, and there's a reunion with her parents, and, you know, they're trying to, like, bring life back to normal by the end, and there's happiness in, you know, with Mari and her reunited with her kids and stuff like that, you know. But you know, it's very, like, I didn't quite understand what was happening until toward the end there. Like, I especially, it's hard because the translation, like, you're reading subtitles, so I think in Japanese probably it's a lot easier to pick up on some of the subtleties. But going by a translation...
Did Kaori watch this at all with you?
Oh, yeah, she watched the whole thing.
Okay.
She thought it was good. And I think she picked on it probably quicker than I did.
Yeah, the subtleties, the translation were more issues. Apparent.
And there's visual clues too. Like in one scene, like Yuki's always carrying around a backpack, and in one scene, Mari, the woman, she has the backpack, and suddenly in a different scene, it's happening at the same time. Yuki has his backpack again. It's all in Mari's head, Mirai's yep. head, right? The daughter's head, you know. Yeah. No, that's another. That's another good thing. Thank God. You know, she's like, you know, 12 years old.
Your point being?
Yeah. No. That's another good thing. It's not like that. So, anyway, spoilers over. You can calculate the time and insert that into the into the show before. So, yeah, highly recommend it. Okay. Check it out.
It's the first suggestion of Alex for me to insert something that I will actually follow through.
Great.
My humor is not what it normally is today, I think. Apologies. Okay.
Here at the Fight Bait Anime Podcast, we strive to bring you a different type of anime review.
The only other shows I've seen where girls pilot robots, they're naked when they do it.
Making sure to touch on the high points of the shows we cover.
The Chain Patriot backdropped a snake.
And also the low points.
Incognito is probably one of the worst anime character designs I've ever seen in my entire life.
We also have game coverage.
If you haven't played Super Mario World, get the f*** off of my podcast.
Poor geographical knowledge.
Dude, Hong Kong is like the capital of Japan, isn't it?
And the infamous Whiskey Thursday.
The moral of the story here is, when you have a problem, you only need to find the right drink.
So come check out the Fight Bait Anime Podcast at www.fightbait.com. You can also find it in the iTunes Music Store. Fight Bait Anime.
It's like the pie.
You know, I don't know how it's like the pie. I was trying to do a metaphor there, and I failed.
Because what the world needed was another anime podcast.
Okay, now at this wrap-up section, there are a few confessions I have to make. I have kind of been working on Anime Pacific Phase 2, which would be a new and improved show.
We've been here before.
Yes, we've been here before, but, you know, it would not result in any huge change, but at least it would be a bit more organized, and that's all. But with my sickness and the sickness of my wife and the sickness of my baby, it kind of, you know, that slowed things down. Plus for my university work, which is kind of piling up. But anyway, I was just telling Alex about all the stuff that I still have yet to see that I want to see, or have at least partially seen. Amongst them, you know, Tokyo Magnitude 8.0, and also I'll be watching The Darker Than Black when it's complete, because I've been holding off on actually watching it.
Yeah, I watched the latest episode of that, by the way.
Yeah, Alex is watching it almost the second it comes out in Japan.
Yeah, I am. It comes out Friday morning here, and if I'm home, I download it right away. I download it right away.
Yep.
And although the latest episode 8,
mm-hmm.
about 3/4 of it was a bit more sort of cartoony than I would normally like, but but anyways, they all can't be gems, but anyways, great show. Anyway, continue, Dane, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was wanting to watch Bonin no Xanadu,
just because it has Bonin in the title, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's yeah, that's right. I wanted to watch the Bonin show, which you have seen, haven't you? You were the one that recommended it to me.
I did?
Yeah.
What is it?
It aired on the PS3 network, excellent.
Oh, yeah. Xanadu. You're right. You know what? I never actually finished watching that. That was like a year ago. But I know exactly what you're talking about, Xanadu. It actually, at Thor Anime, my favorite site for high-quality
For high-definition anime subs, yeah.
Yeah, I think they have it. Is it called Zam Lost Memories? I think this must be it. I'm sure you've seen some of it. I'm sorry, I'm boring the audience.
Yeah, no, but... I downloaded the first episode of Bono Knows Amdo when it was still being subtitled on Alex's recommendation. And, oh yes, Alex has sent me the Thor anime link to it. So perhaps if you guys who are listening to the show haven't seen it and would like to start getting into it so that you can have some familiarity, because a lot of people seem to like the review requests.
The animation was great.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Especially, like, it really is, like, top-notch. Like and much better.
Yeah, I mean, and the atmosphere, I mean, as you can see from these screenshots.
They can't see because it's a podcast.
I really am sick today. If you go to the link, which I will post in the show notes, you see some of the screenshots. Now, one of the things I loved about, say, Wings of Onyamas was that it was a completely alien world depicted with immaculate detail. And this is one of the things I appreciate 2D for over 3D, is that, yes, while in 3D you have to, you know, make each model and render it and stuff, but in 2D you've got to sort of draw it and you've got to focus specifically on it. Whereas, say, like in the huge war scene in Lord of the Rings at the start of the first one, of course they had to make a whole army, but that was very much the result of artificial intelligence. And if you see the commentary for Lord of the Rings, they actually say that the artificial intelligence was so good that when the orc armies invaded, the elves actually ran away and fled, so they had to change the artificial intelligence to be a bit more aggressive. That is completely tangent. But anyway, Bono Knows Zamdo, I don't know how to say it. Excellent attention.
Why can't you
detail.
Just use the English title? Everybody's confused.
What is the English title?
I think it's called Lost Memories.
Lost Memories, okay then.
I think. It's according to the Thor anime.
Oh, is this it? Is this the Bono No thingy?
Didn't I send you the link?
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Lost Memories then. Excellent attention to detail. Fantastic. You know, you feel like you're there. And that's a big thing for me. But amongst the other shows that I want to watch, also, of course, Tokyo Magnitude, this Lost Memories show, Gurren Saga, which is recently just finished. Now, Alex,
what's that?
Gurren Saga is probably the closest we're going to get to another Berserk TV series, which is actually based on the longest novel series in the world, in the entire Earth.
Really?
Yes. And some of it has actually been translated into English. Now, the author recently died, so there's not going to be any more novels coming out. But the anime basically covers the first few volumes of the novel. Now, let me just see how many... Oh, yeah, there are 126 volumes. It's a light novel, so it's not incredibly huge for each book. You know, light reading. Light novels are quite big in Japan and quite big in Asia. And I can certainly appreciate the idea of a light novel, as can my baby. I don't know if you can hear on the microphone. Yeah, but anyway, the author died in May, and the book has come out in English, or some of the book has come out in English, and it's been very well reviewed.
Can you send me a link here?
Yeah, I'll send you the Wikipedia page. Oh, wait, you're not on MSN. Okay, the Wikipedia page for this, which is quite informative. I
think you've mentioned this before. This looks familiar.
Yeah, it's quite popular around the world. It's been translated into German, French, Russian, Italian, Korean, and Chinese. And Vertical have released the first five novels in English. And
according to Wikipedia.
According to Wikipedia, yes. But Kentaro Miura, you know, who makes Berserk, cites Gurren Saga as a rather large influence on his work. So, it's right up my alley. It's, you know, seinen fantasy.
Any fan service?
It's seinen fantasy. So, hard fantasy. So, I mean, that genre pretty much intrinsically is linked to boobies, isn't it?
I don't know. This website is very cartoony.
But I plan on watching that. At the moment, I'm still digging through Due South.
Oh, God. Give up on that show, Due South. I can't believe you like it so much.
It's your duty as a Canadian to love Due South.
It's horrible.
It's your... Oh, no, I won't hear this. It's a... No. That's a Kevin Sorbo level of insult there.
All right.
But anyway, no, I'm also watching Armor Hunter Mellow Link.
What a I gotta say, that name is just retarded. Like, what's a Mellow Link?
Well, that's his name.
Oh, okay.
That's his name. And as you know, the Japanese are the best in the world at giving names, or Western-style names, to characters that end up sounding completely alien, which is probably fortunate enough because I'm pretty sure as far as I can see from the armor, the Armored Trooper Votoms universe is that it's like Star Wars. There's no relation to Earth whatsoever. So I suppose they can call them whatever the heck they want.
All right.
But yeah, he's called Mellow Link, and he hunts armor.
All right. Well.
So.
After.
So those are what's on the horizon. There was probably another thing that I was going to mention, but I can't remember it off the top of my head.
You've only had 2 weeks to prepare for the show.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm hoping that the next episode of Anime Pacific can be of a higher quality.
So you say that every week, man. Stop ragging on the show.
I know. I'm just saving this for pre-recording it. I'll insert it in the end of each episode.
Oh, I see.
Yes. But anyway, look forward to future reviews from. And if you have any requests for reviews, I think Borky Bork actually years ago asked me to do Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, which I have never reviewed. But I will say that I watched it again recently, and I remember when I reviewed Highlander: The Search for Vengeance, I said that it was stylistically and animation-wise identical. That is not true. The animation in Vampire Hunter D is absolutely excellent and better than Highlander.
I think I've seen that. Yeah, something else I've been sort of watching, beginning to watch anyway. Have you heard of the show called Gantz?
Oh, yeah, I've seen all of that. We should review that together.
I just sort of watched episode one. Seems interesting, although apparently it gets kind of monotonous at the end. But
I enjoyed it all the way through. The manga is much longer and goes in a different direction.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it
is. I got the manga too, actually.
Yeah, I've read some of that, the Scanlation, it's very good. It's quite extreme, you know, violence and boobies and a bit of sex.
Yeah, that's what intrigued me.
Well, you certainly won't be disappointed. In fact, bear in mind the original TV show airing of that was heavily censored, and then the DVD release was uncensored.
I got the DVD version, but I think only the first half of it is the DVD version.
That's okay. And the last half, I believe, was aired uncensored. So,
Okay then.
Yes. So, Gantz, there's another one for the future. So, anyway, this is a sick Dane Skaysbrook signing off.
With his baby crying in the background.
She's not crying. She's just kind of squealing in happiness.
All right.
Yep.
Until next time.
So...
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.